Chapter number 22. As I said, I want to get to the point, and I want to just take it all from the Bible, and be Psalm chapter number 22, and I want to preach to you on this subject. Brother John, write down the title, "They Pierce My Hands and My Feet." I'm talking to you this morning about the piercing of the Savior. "They Pierced My Hands and My Feet." That's my title. Be Psalm chapter number 22. We'll read it here in just a little bit. But yesterday I was making a few visits, knocking on a few doors. I came upon three men, and they were young men. I gave them each one a track. I gave them each one of our tracks, says God's Simple Plan of Salvation. I gave them that, and I began to talk to them, and I began to witness to them. And it seemed to me like just the mention of the name of Jesus, that he had died for them on the cross, seemed to put these guys in shock. When I began to talk, they began to back up. And as I began to tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, it was right in the yard there. And it's not a big deal here. I'm just using this to kind of get started with. But they acted like it should be something that you would whisper about. You don't ever want to whisper about that. I remember hearing someone say one time about your religion, "Well, that's personal. You know, that's not anybody's business." Yeah, of course it is if you don't have any. You don't know what you're talking about. Of course it's personal. You know, you don't want to tell anybody. You don't want anybody to know that you don't know nothing. See, we're supposed to know these things. We're supposed to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we're not supposed to be ashamed of it. We're not supposed to be ashamed that we're a Christian. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul said. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." We're not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, who came and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, see, the world try to keep you shut up. They don't want you to talk about that, see. And so, but you don't have to listen to that. There's a time for it. If you're working on a job or something, no, you're not supposed to be using your time, using someone else's time to talk about it. But if you have an opportunity, You need to witness wherever you can. I met another young man yesterday, and all he knew was that that he had been baptized several years ago. Did you know the Bible says that salvation, going to heaven, is not by works of righteousness which we have done? Baptism is a work of righteousness. Baptism feels good. Baptism looks good. Baptism and all that kind of stuff, you know, the works and all that kind of stuff, it looks good. But those kinds of things will not save you. It looks, it sounds, it feels religion, but baptism is works. There's a place for baptism, of course. But it is a work of righteousness. It's a good thing in its place. The thief on the cross, Jesus Christ died on a cross, and on each side of him was a thief. And there was one of those thieves that got saved, and that thief that cried out to Jesus Christ, he never had a chance, he never had an opportunity to go to church. "I'm for going to church, but a church cannot save you. I'm for going to church, I'm for doing all of the right things, but brother, there's only one thing that will save anybody, and that's a person, and that is Jesus Christ. Only he will save anyone. He's the one who did the work for you. He did it so that you could be saved, so that you could have eternal life. You cannot outdo what he's already done. When Jesus said on the cross, 'It is finished,' that means he finished it all. It's all paid for. Your part is to accept what he did for you, you see. So that thief on the cross, he did not have time to go down to get baptized and to do a bunch of good deeds. But all he had time to do was say, 'Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And I say, thank God for the thief on the cross. If he got saved that way, then I can get saved that way. He got saved as a sinner upon a cross, hanging there. And the next few minutes, he was dead and on his way to heaven. He didn't do anything good. Maybe in his whole life, he's up on a cross for some deed that he had done. And the next few minutes, he's on his way. You say, do you believe in deathbed, whatever, salvation experience? Well, I'd say that's pretty close to it right there, wouldn't you? I'd say that's fairly close to it right there. A person can be saved if they will turn to Jesus Christ until they die. But I say thank God for the thief on the cross. God must have put him up there for a purpose. God put him up there for a purpose. He paid for our sins, all of them. All the sins that you've ever committed, past, present, and future. Jesus paid for them all. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died and he was buried and he was raised from the dead." That is called in the Bible the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Christ died for us. To keep it short today, look in your Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 1. Here we have in the Bible, we have a prophecy written 1,000 years before it took place. We have God given by inspiration the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 22, David is writing, but these things that we're going to read about did not happen to David. He's looking out into the future and telling us what is going to happen 1,000 years out in the future. These things are going to happen to the Son of David, who is Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles to Psalm 22 and verse number 1. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I have to look back and see that is a quote. That is what Jesus said on the cross y'all, sorry about that. Hang on here. I got to find my place back here in my other Bible. Psalm chapter 22, and that phrase right there is found in Mark chapter 15 and verse 34 and Matthew 27:46, where Jesus is hanging on the cross and getting close to late in the evening, right before he dies, and he says these words. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me?" So he says, that's verse number one. Here we have Jesus Christ on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse number two. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. This is just, if you can stop for a minute and think, this is what Jesus was thinking on the cross. This is what Jesus is thinking on the cross. Verse number five, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not condemned. Look at verse number six. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." Look at verse number seven. Here's Jesus on the cross. "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted him." See, this is Jesus on the cross. He's up on the cross, and there's people down there. They're laughing at him and mocking at him. That's what he's talking about right here. See, that's what he's talking about. He said in verse number 9, "But thou art he that didst." It's Jesus speaking to God. "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." Here's Jesus again speaking. Verse number 11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is me, for there is none to help." Verse number 12, "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have set me round about." You say, what's that about? About bulls. He's talking about people. People are like bulls. People like bulls. He calls them bulls of Bashan. And so he said in verse number 13, "They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." See, it's Jesus talking, and this is what he's thinking while he's on the cross. There's nails in his hands, and there's nails in his feet. If you were suffering and like that, and you'd been up all night and nothing to eat, nothing to drink, what would you be thinking? How would you be thinking while you were on the cross? That's what you have right here. With Jesus, what he's thinking and what he's feeling while he's hanging there on a cross. And there's people down there milling around, and they're mocking him, laughing at him. They're saying, "Come down, come on down from the cross." They're saying to Jesus, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him." And I wanted the song sang this morning, but we didn't get it done. It's okay. that song that I liked so much that some of our folks sang, he didn't come down. Amen. He didn't come down, you see. But this is Jesus on the cross and people looking at him and laughing at him and mocking at him, see. And they're saying, come on down from the cross. If you'll just come down from the cross, then we'll believe you. We'll believe you. If you'll come on down, we'll believe you. Well, look, he couldn't come down. I mean, he could have, let me back up. Jesus could have come down, but he wouldn't come down. He wouldn't come down, see, but he could have come down. Amen? Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
I mean, if he'd come down, then he wouldn't save anybody. But he stayed on the cross so that we could be saved, so that he could bear all of our sins. See, that's Jesus on the cross there. He's bearing our sins while he's on the cross. That's why he didn't come down, you see. The song, he didn't come down. You know, that keeps on going over in my mind. See, that's why he didn't come down. Because he's bearing your sins and my sins in his body on the tree.
Amen.
And so he goes on to say, where am I at there? Verse number 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. Verse number 14, look what it says. I am poured out like water. Maybe that's water pouring off of his body from sweat. When you sweat a lot and you don't get any water, you get dehydrated. He said, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. You see this? All my bones. Here's Jesus. Look here, folks. Let me ask you something. Is there any book like this? Is there any book that can tell you about a specific person 1,000 years before it ever happens, and they tell you about his bones being out of joint? Is there another book on earth like that? That's the Holy Bible. You can trust the Holy Bible. It's telling you about a man who's going to die on a cross 1,000 years before it ever happens, and it's telling you that all of his bones are going to be yanked around, all of his knee joint, his ankle bones, his leg bones, his arms, his shoulders, everything's going to be yanked out of joint. He's going to be hanging on a cross. He's going to be thirsty. His tongue sticks to his mouth, and he's all of his sweat's going out of his body. That's what he's talking about here. Is there another book like that on earth? Tell me. If there is, I'd like to go get it. I'd like to find out about it. There's not one. This is the Holy Bible right here. It's the only Bible on earth, only book or Bible, either one, that can do that sort of thing. You see that? Now, if anybody could predict the weather perfectly, even 1 week in advance, they'd be doing pretty good. But nobody can do that. They try, but they can't do it. Here, the Bible is giving you specific details. 1,000 years before anybody is insane not to believe the Bible. They are absolutely insane out of their mind if people don't believe the Bible, and people just dismiss it. They just dismiss it. They throw it aside. They say, it's not important. We throw it out the window, blah, blah, blah. And they go their own way. You see? I mean, man, that's dangerous. That is dangerous to their future. That's danger to their future. Verse number 14. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. How'd you like it somebody, if we got four tractors? I got four John Deere tractors and put a rope on each one of your limbs. Put them on each one and this and put two ropes on your feet. And put a tractor over here and a tractor over here and a tractor back here and a tractor back here, and these tractors start pulling you. Starts pulling on your bones. And they pull all your bones until right before your arms just pop loose and fly off. Man, how'd that feel? That wouldn't feel too good, would it? I mean, most of the time we're out of commission if we get a sprained ankle. All of his bones are out of joint. All of my bones are out of joint. My feet, my heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. Look at verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. That's a piece of dry pottery. Like a potsherd, my tongue cleaveth to the top, what does it say, to my jaw. See, on the inside of his mouth. He got his tongue in his looking around for some little speck of water on the inside of his mouth, but he can't find any. Now, folks, listen. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is God, man of God up in heaven, who came down to the earth and became a man, and his name is Jesus, and this is happening to him. This is your sins and my sins laid upon Jesus Christ right here, and he's suffering in your place. He's suffering where you ought to have to suffer. So he said, verse 50, my strength is dried up like a parched, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Verse 16, for dogs, not when he said dogs, he's talking about people, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Look at, now here's my text in verse 16. I'm just now getting to it. They pierced my hands and my feet. You know what they did? They put spikes in them. They put spikes in his hands, one on each side. Probably, you see, in the Bible, your wrist is part of your hand. They put a spike right here, probably. They put feet, and they put his feet together and drove a big spike right through it, see, to the tree. They pierced my hands and my feet. I had a different way of going in this sermon, but maybe I should just do something different here. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Verse number 17, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Look here. I may tell all my bones. In other words, you know what he's saying? He says, I can look down and see my bones. Because they lash my back and the whip pull the skin off my bones. And I can look down and I can see some of my bones. They're sticking out, see? They're sticking out. I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare at me. His bones are staring back at him, see? Bones of his body, bones around here, maybe rib cage and things like that, see? You see, that's our sins laid upon Jesus, and Jesus is suffering in our place, you see? All right, he did that so you don't have to. You know that? He did that so you don't have to. And he did that willingly. He said, the joy. For the joy that is set before me, he endured this, the cross. Verse number 17, I may tell all my bones. You know what they did? I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. You know what they did? They ripped his clothes off. I ripped his clothes off, see, and then they did the lashing. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. Verse number 18, They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about a couple of some soldiers down at the foot of the cross, and they're gambling for his garments. You know, I don't know what you'd say. I don't know how they do it. Maybe they're rolling dice or something like that. You know, for his garments. You see, He had a coat, and by the way, you probably think that. You'd probably hear that Jesus wore a robe. Everybody look up here. Jesus didn't wear a robe. Oh, you see that? You might see that on television. He didn't wear a robe. They put a robe on him to mock him, but then they took it off of him. He had a garment on that was like a coat woven without seam. I think it probably had a hole in the top. It was like a rough garment, you know, something like that. That's what he had. But you see, I think it put it this way because robe, the reason he didn't wear robes, what I'm trying to say is probably because a robe is more like religion, and he didn't want to be associated with a lot of religions, you see. So he didn't wear a robe. They put a robe on him, a purple robe, to mock him. Crown of thorns and all that kind of stuff, see. They part my garments among them, cast lots upon my vesture, verse number 18. That's all I'll read there. That's all I'll read there. So see, I wanted to just bring that to your attention. They pierced my hands and my feet. Turn your Bibles, please, to Isaiah, over to the right just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'll preach a little bit and I'll quit when it gets time. Isaiah chapter number 53, pierced. You know what it means to pierce something? I mean, to puncture it. Punctured. See, they pierced my hands and then they pierced my feet. Why? Well, they put him up on a cross to hold him up on the cross. Now, folks, you need to understand this. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and nothing could have held him to the cross if he didn't want to. But he did this voluntarily. He laid down his life for us, you see. I mean, he laid it down. Nobody could take his life from him. He's God. The Bible says he could call 10,000 angels. What does it say? How many legions was it? Wasn't it 12 legions? There were 12 legions. All he has to do is say, y'all come and help me. Y'all come and help me. And they'll come and help him, see. But you see, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to bear your sins so you could be free of your sins, so you could have eternal life, so you can go to heaven. That's why he did that. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 1. Now let's stop again. I told you a while ago that Psalm chapter 22 is written 1,000 years ahead of time. Here we're going to move forward now 300 years. This, Isaiah chapter 53, is written 700 years. Can you imagine a book that can predict what's going to happen 700 years in advance, give detailed information? That's why you better pay attention to the Bible. That's why we better pay attention to the Bible. It is insane not to believe the Bible and obey the Bible. Isaiah 53 and verse number 1, here's the cross again. Who hath believed our report? It's Isaiah writing. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? By the way, Jesus Christ in the Bible is the arm of the Lord. Verse number 2, for he, we're speaking about Jesus, he shall grow up before him as he's going to grow up before God, as a man, as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Let's stop for a minute. Jesus Christ wasn't a beautiful man. He didn't have a real nice trimmed beard. Nothing wrong with having one. I'm just making a point. He didn't have a real nice trimmed haircut like we have, like I've got, you know. See how round mine is? He didn't have any of that, see. He didn't have any of that. He was a rough-looking man. He's a carpenter, Brother Yazzie. He's a carpenter. He had calluses on his hands. He's God in the flesh who came down and became a man so he could bear your sins. He's the only one that can be perfect enough. None of us could do that. If you want to pay for your own sins, you're going to have to go to hell to do it. He's a man. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't a beautiful man. You know, I could talk about that, but we'll go on. Verse number 3. He despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I want you to notice one word in verse number 5, he was wounded. Wounded. That's the piercing. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we are healed. I must go on. Let's go now from 1000 BC to 7000 BC. Let's go to 400 BC. 400 years before Jesus Christ ever came, it's written again that he would be pierced. Turn your Bibles to the next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 12. If I'm right there, got my dates right, 1,200 years before Jesus Christ ever showed up, before Jesus Christ ever was born in Bethlehem's manger, it was written down. The crucifixion was written down. 400 years here. Zechariah chapter 12. I've got to look up here. I don't think I've got my right marks in this one. Zechariah chapter number 12, I want you to notice a phrase in some of these verses here. It's that day, and in that day. Look in verse number 3. Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 3, it says, in that day. Look at verse number 4, in that day. Look at verse number 6, in that day. Look at verse number 8, in that day. Verse number 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Well, now look, that hasn't happened yet. So now then, we're looking way out in the future, even out past us. You know what it is? It's the Battle of Armageddon. In that day, here's what's going to happen. Let's read verse number 10. In that day, let's read 9. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. That's during the tribulation and at the Battle of Armageddon. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. Back to the earth, the second coming, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And look at this, and they shall look upon me, that's God, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Folks, that verse right there, that tells you a bunch of things. But number one, it tells you this, that man on the cross was God. That man on the cross was God in a man's body, God in the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ was. He said, when he comes, they're going to look on me. The nation of Israel, that's who he's writing this to. They're going to look and they're going to see Jesus Christ when he comes back the second time. And they're going to say this. They're going to say, oh my, what did we do? We crucified, we killed, we murdered our Messiah. And they're going to recognize him. They should look upon me whom they have pierced. Jesus said, they pierced my hands and my feet. They drove a spike through his hands. Listen carefully. The hands that came to save them, they drove nails and spears, and they drove a spike through them, see? The hands that came to save them, the hand that healed people. Jesus healed a leper. He healed other people. The hands that pulled Peter up from drowning in Matthew 14:33. Let me ask y'all something. How many times has an unseen hand helped you? How many times has an unseen hand spared your life? How many times has an unseen hand blessed you? That was the hand of God. That was the hand that was pierced. They pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced his hands. Number two, they pierced his feet. Those feet that carried him, they carried him to the poor, to the maimed, the halt, to the blind, to the sick, and to the poor. His feet were pierced with spikes. His feet, you see, his hands were pierced, and they paid for the crimes and the sin that people commit with their hands. His feet were pierced, and those piercing, that paid for the sins that we commit with our feet. The Bible says feet that are swift to shed blood. Feet that are swift to run to mischief. His feet were pierced and paid for those. His hands were pierced to pay for the sin that people commit with their hands. The Bible says a lot about murder and things like that, you see. His hands and his feet were pierced. Look up one verse of Scripture and it'd be the last one. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And be Luke chapter 24, look in verse number 39.